the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's April 2022, and this is episode 285, which is a conversation about how the Bible gives hope for aging. Today, my guest is Elizabeth Reynolds Turnage. She is an author, Bible teacher, and life and legacy coach. She offers workshops to help people gather all of the essential documents for end of life and to prepare a practical and spiritual legacy. Elizabeth has written a feature article in Volume 45, Number 1 and 2, the print issue of our magazine, and her article is called The Age of Opportunity, How the Bible Gives Hope for Aging. You can read her article if you're a subscriber to our print magazine. And if you're not already a subscriber, you will want to subscribe at our website, equip.org. Elizabeth, it's good to have you on.
Thanks, Melanie. Great to be here.
Well, aging is one of those topics that is pretty much been in the news more recently because some of the generations, specifically the baby boomers, are getting older. And it's just kind of at the forefront of thoughts about just different cultural things that people face as they get older, from ageism in terms of like working, and also, you know, just in terms of our very visual culture. We've become shifted a little bit in our media from a written culture influence to more of a visual culture with social media and film and television. And so there's this major pressure for everyone, including Christians, to pursue youthfulness, or at least to somehow think that aging is not a positive thing. And, you know, it seems like every day there's some kind of pop culture notice that so-and-so, have they had work done, this older star in their 40s or 50s? I mean, I'm saying older, you know, they're maybe not that old, but they're having this pressure to look and feel very young. I mean, maybe they feel young, but to look really young or act really young. I think that this is a very timely article for our journal. And so in this article, you reference a book about agelessness in particular. So I'd like you to explain to our listeners a little bit more about that concept of agelessness.
Yes. Yeah, so I had seen this book. It's called Ageless, The New Science of Getting Older Without Getting Old. I had seen it a number of times in the bookstore, and I was like, you know, what is this about? Because I've really been doing a lot of study around aging and caregiving and end of life. And so I finally picked it up. And the guy who wrote it, his name is Andrew Steele. He's a biogerontologist, which is a term I had never heard of before. But he defines aging as the exponential increase in death and suffering over time. So that's, there's his definition of aging. It's, you know, increase in death and suffering. And then he goes on to say, you know, he says, oh, sure. Okay. There are some benefits to aging, like, you know, wisdom gain, you know, with experience and maturity. But then he also says that aging should be understood as a disease, which, wow, I mean, that's like, think about that. And then with that, he says, okay, if aging is a disease, then we can approach it by thinking that one day this disease could be cured. And so his concept is that of curing aging. And he calls agelessness then biological immortality, which is just, again, that phrase to me is so interesting, especially coming from a Christian perspective.
So why do you think that this concept of agelessness is appealing, you know, to our culture, specifically, I'd say Western culture, but not necessarily, I would just say pop culture, really. I mean, our influences of our culture have gone beyond just the United States or Western countries.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned already, Melanie, that, you know, aging in certainly, as you're saying, in Western culture is just not something that we long for. We are doing everything to disguise aging or to deny aging. We often see a lot of kind of mocking of older people, you know, memes and things like that are circulated. And so there's a tendency to kind of be mocking or condescending toward older people, unlike in some cultures, and certainly in biblical culture, as we'll talk about. We see the marginalization of the aging, like you already mentioned, often in the workplace. So it is this idea then that Andrew Steele is presenting of agelessness. You can imagine that that is appealing if we're all seeking to disguise or deny the fact that we're getting older, which we are.
Somehow I think it's just maybe the focus about being ageless is because we want to live forever. This idea of just immortality in terms of pursuit, not in a religious sense, but that we'll always be here. And what can we do to stop any process from, you know, advancing forward towards death? Maybe it's a fear of death, really. Are people afraid of dying? And do they want to just continue to kind of avoid that as much as they can? Because this idea of aging, I mean, I think if anybody looks at their social media feeds, first of all, on social media, everyone knows how old you are because in order to sign up, you have to have that. So if you're over 40, you are going to see all kinds of ads for, you know, products that will help you be younger or things that'll make you look younger or feel younger and all these kinds of things. So it's this continuous pursuit of this because maybe this product or this vitamin or this workout will help you be ageless or avoid death. But as Christians, I think we need to look at what the Bible says about agelessness and aging and getting older. So how do we think biblically about aging? And tell us what we kind of learn from the meta-narrative of Scripture about aging, because even Christians are in this pursuit of trying to stop the aging process.
Yes, it is so, so true, Melanie. It's, you know, we just get caught up in it as Christians. It's just sort of like this, you know, just like you say, the social media, the whole thing just kind of sucks us in. And so we need to step back and we need to say, okay, well, you know, this is what the culture is telling me about aging or trying to be ageless and about death, which is also, we'll talk about that some too, as we look at the Bible and what the Bible says about aging. So we need to step back and say, okay, what does the Bible really say about aging? And I always like to start with the big story, with the meta narrative of Scripture, and say, well, what can that teach us? So we know from creation that we were created in the image of God to live forever. And God told Adam and Eve, you know, you can eat from every tree in the garden, except for this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said. And there was the clear warning, in the day that you eat of it, you will die, Genesis 2:17. And so then what happened? That, you know, tempted by Satan, they did eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then it's interesting because, of course, they did not die physically immediately. But in Romans 5, it says that death entered the world in that moment. And that's so, you know, why do we die? Well, because Adam and Eve sinned. It was a consequence of sin. And yet, the amazing thing as you continue through Scripture is to see, you know, to think that God, even God, originally, that the idea was not death and decay. That is not the way God created us. And then as we continue through the story, we see aging and death redeemed. So God sent Jesus in human form. Well, Jesus was born as a baby and he aged. So aging, we can even see how aging is a good thing biblically. And he died for our sins. So what we're celebrating at Easter is that he rose from the dead. And because of his resurrection, all who trust in him have eternal life. So that also changes the way we look at aging and death. Through Jesus, aging is redeemed and death is defeated. And then, of course, one day Jesus will return and we will live forever with God in the new heavens, in the new earth, and everything that has been so broken will be restored and renewed. And so, you know, we have much to look forward to from a Christian standpoint, from a biblical standpoint, if we look at the whole story of Scripture and we consider aging in that light.
And I think also you mentioned, you know, Christians struggle with this aging thing. I think they even struggle with aging, not just the physical process of it, the mental process, but also in terms of, you know, how they serve in the church. And so let's think about the meta-narrative of Scripture that helps us reconsider what aging is even about as we think of all of those kinds of ways in which aging is part of the impact of how Christians view the subject in general. So what about the themes of aging? In your article, you mentioned that there are 5 biblical themes of aging. So I want to take those one by one. First of all, is aging natural, and is aging not glamorized? I mean, it seems like it's very glamorized right now. It's kind of the hip thing for older, especially women who are formerly models in their 50s and 60s, to glamorize the process of aging and say that it's, you know, a fierce time and that kind of thing. But what does the Bible say about these two themes, and how does it relate to actually what the messages of the culture are telling us?
Yeah, it's, you know, again, the Bible is so honest and so realistic and so refreshing in that way. So on the one hand, in the Bible, you do see that aging is natural. And you know, as we've already seen from the meta-narrative of Scripture, it is part of the process. From the fact that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, he aged. Genesis talks about being buried in a good old age. Psalm 90 talks about the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, but they're soon gone. There's much in the Bible about, okay, look, it's okay. It is normal. If you are getting older, you are normal. This is normal. So that's a good place to start. But at the same time, it doesn't, like you were saying, Melanie, you know, we do see these, like, sometimes in our feeds, these older models who knows, you know, what they have used to look so glamorous at 60 years old or 70 years old, kind of glamorizing aging. Well, the Bible doesn't do that either. It really is very realistic. If you look at Ecclesiastes 12, that's probably one of the most realistic places in Scripture about aging. And it talks about weak and trembling hands. This, if you go through Ecclesiastes 12 and kind of understand some of what is likely symbolism there, you get the weak and trembling hands, you get teeth falling out, eyesight dimming. You know, we all know, like, you turn 40 and you need the reader glasses. And then there's also kind of this spiritual or emotional effect of aging, which many people who, you know, as they age have experienced, just getting more afraid about things and the grief of aging as people are, you know, your best friends are suddenly dying. And my husband and I were talking about somebody recently and just how lonely it would be, this person in their 90s. And not only have all their friends died, but their children have died. And they're, you know, the only ones left. That's very lonely. And the Bible does not really try to romanticize that or say that it's not the way it is. But it does encourage us. I love Jen Pollock Mitchell writes about aging in Ecclesiastes, and she says, the king is saying, see your cells, C-E-L-L-S, see your cells old. And if you do that, you will worship God and you will make the most of your time. And so even in the hard realities about aging, there is redemption to be found in Scripture.
Now, I don't want to say that people shouldn't be healthy or take care of themselves as they get older, but this glamorization and romanticizing, as you said, of aging bodies, and not just looks, but I mean, I read an article, I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago in the Washington Post, about this woman who had taken up bodybuilding in her 70s, and she's winning all these awards. And I looked at, you know, her pictures, and I'm like, oh my goodness, people in their 20s are not as fit as she is. I mean, she just had this amazing, she was just this beautiful African-American woman with just this amazing sculpted muscles in her 70s. And that's not the norm for most people. So we're seeing all this stuff, and it starts us to concentrate on some of these physical aspects, what we look like, what our faces look like, our bodies look like as we age. But in the Bible, you just mentioned that aging is recognized in its just frank reality. And so is aging from a Christian worldview, is it honorable? Does it bring wisdom? And we know we talk about in Proverbs, wisdom of those who get older. So what does the Bible specifically say about this, the idea of aging being honorable and the age, the person who is older is wise? And how does that relate to what our culture says? Because what our culture is looking at for aging is, wow, look at this person. They're in their 70s. They're bodybuilding. And she's not the only one. There's another older lady. I've seen ads for her in my feed, and she's in her 70s too. It makes you click, you know, like, oh, hear her story. Oh my goodness. She's in like, she's closer to 80 than 70. And she, you know, is like massively bodybuilding and doing CrossFit now. What, you know, why? And all this kind of stuff. And so, how does what the Bible says about those kinds of things relate to what our culture says? Because in all reality, in the Bible's frankness of what happens to your body, I mean, most people are looking at that lady going, I mean, I know 76-year-olds and they don't look like her at all. I mean, you know, she has gray hair and everything, but her body is just, you know, totally fit. I mean, most people aren't like that. So how do we relate to really think through what the God wants us to think about aging versus just this bombardment of how culture shows us aging should be like?
Yeah, we have to be so wise when we see these things, because we do have to remember that 70-something bodybuilder is far more the rarity, not the norm. Because the simple fact of aging in our bodies is that, generally speaking, we lose muscle mass. That's just a scientific reality for most of us, even if we are working out. And certainly the Bible encourages us to steward our bodies well and to seek to be healthy. But at the same time, we want to be wary of things that are held up to kind of as idols, as like, oh, become a bodybuilder or become a marathon runner. And again, those are the rare exceptions. Those are not the norms of how most 70 and 80-year-old bodies are responding. And they can even make people feel bad, like, you know, oh, well, why am I, you know, why do I have that fat jiggling behind my arms, you know, and I'm working out 3 times a week. But it's just part of the natural process of aging. So again, finding the balance between, as far as our bodies go, between idolizing someone or a body type that is not really how most of our bodies are going to work, and recognizing that we should have good stewardship and continue to be healthy within our own limitations. And then at the same time, as you also mentioned, Melanie, the Bible is, it does not downplay the body, but it also speaks so much about the outer self is wasting away, and yet the inner self is being renewed day by day. And so we'll talk about the opportunities of aging, but the Bible just mentions over and over the wisdom of the aged. And we see, like you said, this heart of wisdom and Psalm 90 and the crown of glory, the honor of the aged. I mean, there's no ageism in the Bible. That's just not acceptable. We see Jethro mentoring Moses, and then Moses mentoring Joshua. We see Elizabeth encouraging Mary. We see the father and the mother in Proverbs 1 passing on their wisdom to their adult son. So throughout life, according to the Bible, wisdom and our honor just increases, and we are to use that for the glory of God. And it's just, you know, it's just exciting to think about the opportunities that aging gives us in terms of wisdom and honor. And that's very countercultural, as we've already mentioned.
I want to tell you about a very special promotion that we're having to grow the subscriptions of the Christian Research Journal and get our magazine into more people's hands for Christians to be equipped, as we say in the tagline on our print edition, to be equipped in exercising truth and experiencing life. So we give you all kinds of articles that help you with Christian apologetics and doctrinal discernment, as well as articles that will help you grow in your faith and help you understand your union with Christ even more, including this subject that we're talking about today, about what it means to become older and what the Bible has to say about aging from a biblical perspective. And so here's how you can get a subscription, help us for our fiscal year end, and also to maybe give some subscriptions to friends, your pastor, or family members. And so if you go to this link, equip.org/product/journal offer, that's one word, journal offer, you will go to this landing page that will tell you that you can get a subscription for a gift to the ministry of $30 or more. And normally a subscription, as I mentioned on this podcast, is $33.50. You can get two subscriptions for a gift of $55 or more, three subscriptions for a gift of $75 or more, or four subscriptions for a gift of $100 or more. And you would receive two hardcover books, one copy each from the vault of the Best of the Christian Research Journal. And so we have a book called What is Truth? And another book that's called Whose Ethics, Whose Morals. So for a gift of $100 or more to the Christian Research Institute, you will get four subscriptions and two hardcover books. Plus, all of the subscriptions, as you know, include access to our online exclusive articles that you hear me mention a lot on this podcast. So you would get all the online exclusive articles as well as the print subscription right to your door. So please consider giving a gift to help us for our fiscal year end, as well as spreading out the information for the Christian Research Journal to family and friends, and maybe even church staff members that you attend. It's a really great equipping gift. And so again, the URL is equip.org/product/journal offer. Well, one thing that's kind of, you know, whether it's become a meme or just one of those cultural tropes, is the midlife crisis. People hit, you know, their mid-40s, 50 years old, and they basically think that their life is over, that their career is over, that their marriage is failing or whatever it is. So it's a lot of people just see that life is over when they get older. And that's probably because of the cultural influences. They see all this youth around them and they are, you know, seen as the old person now. So you talk about in your article that actually aging presents a lot of opportunities. And I don't even want to say the midlife crisis is just limited to people who aren't Christians. I think a lot of people get to that empty nesting stage, maybe in their mid to late 40s and 50s, and think that their ministry is over. There's new, younger people coming up in ministry if they've been involved in the local church. And so they're just put out to pasture. There's nothing else for them to do. And so I'd like to talk about some of the opportunities that there are when Christians are aging. So how does aging provide an opportunity, not just, okay, what else can I do in ministry, but to really pursue a deep intimacy with Christ?
Yeah, that, you know, that's what we always want to be thinking about as Christians, is being conformed to the image of Christ, growing more like Christ. And so again, it's, you know, it's the counterintuitive way of scripture to talk about growing like Christ through suffering. So yes, you know, back to Andrew Steele and his book, that he actually defines aging as the increase of suffering and death. Well, the reality is that for many of us, you know, my husband's 62 and I'm almost 60, and he'll say, if either one of us got up in the morning and our bodies didn't hurt in some way, we would think that we had died and gone to heaven. You know, it's just, it is the reality. And, you know, that's kind of a laughable, like there is, you know, the ache and pain of getting older, but there are really many losses and limitations that can come with aging. And especially, you know, the elderly, we've already mentioned kind of the grief and the loneliness. And yet one gerontologist, his name is James Davies, he did a study, a long study of the elderly. And one of the things he studied was suffering in the elderly. And he found that their suffering could actually draw them closer to God. He said that many older Christians found spiritual renewal through seeing their affliction and loss as a reminder of Christ's affliction. And then if you think about union with Christ and the fellowship of our sufferings, suffering has that ability. Now, we all know the people who have grown bitter through suffering. So we're not going to say that everybody grows more like Christ through suffering, but it has the opportunity to not only make us more like Christ, but also to grow a deeper intimacy with God as we suffer, as we learn this dependence on Christ through our suffering. And, you know, along with that, that humility, you know, as I'm talking about limitations and loss, we also have the opportunity to learn the humility of Christ. You know, when you are marginalized, when people do feel like, oh, well, you know, like you mentioned, like being put out to pasture, or, oh, there are younger people coming along in the ministry and they don't really want my input as much. That's such an opportunity to grow in humility. And yet, maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more, not necessarily letting ourselves be marginalized or put to the side, because we've got to remember that we still have that wisdom of experience to offer.
I think that's probably something true to note. I mean, for the most part, I mean, sometimes something shocking happens when you're young where you witness somebody who dies. That happened to me when I was 16, somebody I worked with died. And that was just like my first real experience, you know, outside of like family members of, oh, somebody I knew died and they weren't supposed to die. They're only 17 or whatever. But I think that as you get older, you just have experienced more things or seen more things in your life that your friends have gone through, whether it's, you know, a serious illness or death or divorce or a child's, you know, serious health problems or something like that, or a spouse's serious health problems or their own serious health problems. You just don't tend to see that when you're younger. And so how does, you know, aging actually provide this opportunity for deeper humility that you've mentioned? Because you talked about, you know, we are growing closer to Christ. We should all be pursuing that no matter what our age is. But as you age, the life circumstances that you face and your life schedule changes. So how does some of those kinds of things provide the circumstances and opportunity to be, as John the Baptist said, that, you know, Christ would increase and that we would decrease, that we would become more humble people who are thinking about others more than ourselves?
Yeah, I think as you're coming to these places in your life where there are just things that you can't do anymore. You have to give up things because your body, again, back to the body, the aging body, won't allow all of us to become bodybuilders. We're going to, you know, if we try to become a bodybuilder, then we're going to hurt our shoulder and be seeing our orthopedist. And so that's just not the thing that we can do, or maybe things that we used to be able to do that we can't do anymore. And I've experienced that. I had played tennis for many years and had several shoulder surgeries. And this was in my early to mid 40s. And I had to give up. I had to be in physical therapy for months after shoulder surgeries. And then I had to come to the place to say, I can't do that anymore. So that was one of the kind of earlier aging opportunities for me to just grow in that humility of like, no, I have to ask somebody to help me pick this thing up. Or I remember at church, we would be like getting ready for a women's event and we'd be moving, you know, chairs and tables. And I would have to say, you know, I'd either have to say, I can't do that, or I'd have to just kind of sneak off somewhere and try to figure out if there was something else I could do to contribute. So my sense of productivity, you know, I really like, and I think many of us like to be able to contribute and to be productive. Well, as we age, we lose some of those opportunities. So in that example, you know, I lost it much earlier, but you think about elderly people who lose their ability to drive, or they have to have an afternoon nap every day, or they can't get out of a chair without somebody helping them up. There is the opportunity to discover this deeper dependence on others, but also to say, I'm weak, I'm weak. And that's really hard in a culture that is always calling us to be strong. There's one author I read, she wrote a wonderful book. I believe she's in her 70s. Her name is Alice Freiling, and she's a spiritual director. And she wrote a book called Aging Faithfully, The Holy Invitation of Growing Older. And she talked about this productivity thing. She said, you know, when we're not as productive as we used to be, we can grow in fruitfulness. And she described fruitfulness as non-tangible ways that we relate to others. So when we start to face these limitations, we can grow in fruitfulness and humility, even being able to be weak so that we can know Christ's strength, or we are actually decreasing, but we see Christ increasing. We see maybe the fruit of patience. We see the fruit of empathy. I remember when I had those shoulder surgeries, being in PT with people who were in their 70s and 80s, and I was in my mid 40s, and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, they can pick up these 3-pound weights, and I can't even do that exercise with the 3-pound weight yet. So it actually is an opportunity to grow in all sorts of fruits, including humility, as we embrace some of the limitations, some of the weakness that we experience as we age.
One thing I think that people, you know, think about when they age is, I'm looking forward to retiring, because when I retire, it's going to finally be that me time that I haven't had because I've been raising children and then putting them through college and paying for their weddings or whatever. And so it's going to be my time to retire and relax. And then also, maybe in the context of the church, I've also heard from some older Christians that, you know, I've done my service in the church and it's time for me to just sit back and just focus on my grandkids. And I just really don't, you know, have any interest in mentoring people or being involved in ministry or even on a prayer team. So how does aging for the Christian provide us with new opportunities as disciples? I mean, how do we help people think through some of those kind of responses, because that's very typical. I'm just going to travel now. I'm going to relax. It's time for me. I'm going to pursue all those things that I wasn't able to do, like play golf all the time, or if we can, play tennis all the time, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I would have to recommend a book by J.I. Packer. I can't remember. Oh, it's Finishing Our Course with Joy. And he is so like, and he wrote this book, I believe he was 92 when he wrote the book. So talk about somebody who, you know, earned the right to speak into this. But he really talks about how, about this culture, again, it's very cultural, certainly Western cultural thing of, okay, I've earned the right to, you know, live in leisure. And that's kind of the message that we get about retirement. And retirement is great. And there is nothing wrong with enjoying some leisure time, or, you know, more time to play golf or tennis, or to spend time with your grandchildren. There's nothing wrong with those things. But we really need to, again, step back as Christians and reorient ourselves, because at the same time as Christians, we are always called to be ambassadors of Christ. We are always called to be glorifying God. And one of the things Packer says is, it's our last lap and we want to finish it well. And so he really encourages the elderly away from that kind of attitude of, it's me time. It's, you know, it's my time. He's like, no, it's, you know, it's God's time. And so how do we live our life as disciples? How do we continue to worship God, to share the good news about Jesus? And the other just very practical aspect of this is, there have been studies done about older people and volunteering, and the happiest older people were those who were volunteering or serving in some capacity. And as Christians, that should not surprise us at all. So to say, okay, now I have more time in my day, what will my body, what will the limitations I have allow me to do? And whether that's, I remember my mom was, I think she was around 80 years old when she became a member of her church's prison ministry team. And their prison ministry would go every few months, they would go on a day that the families of the incarcerated were allowed to visit, and they would serve a meal. Well, my mom had a really bad limp because she needed a knee replacement, which she would not have. And so she had a really bad limp. She just was very off balance. So she would not serve the meal when her team went. She would sit at the tables with the families and the incarcerated, and she would just listen to them, and she would just ask them questions about their lives and really offer the presence of Christ. And I thought that was such a good example of, honestly, Melanie, it was not easy for her to get her body onto this church van and drive, you know, they went 2 hours to this prison, but she would do that, and she, you know, would serve within the limitations of her body. And so I think that we all always need to be asking, you know, how can we pass on the wisdom that we've been giving, whether that is serving, you know, on a ministry team and offering, not, you know, not being the person who speaks all the time, but offering the wisdom that we've learned over our years, or tutoring youth, or driving grandchildren, or praying, or writing letters of encouragement. There's just, you know, there are as many different ways that we can continue to serve God and love others as we age, as there are different people. So we just want to be very intentional about being Christ's ambassadors, about being disciples as we continue throughout our lives, no matter how old we are.
Well, as a follow-up to that question, I think there's some people, if you talk to them, they feel like they're not wanted anymore in church ministry. And of course, most of the people in leadership are younger than them. So, and they haven't started thinking about how to really incorporate older folks in ministry opportunities. So how should church leaders or those who are in leadership positions, if they might not necessarily, they might be lay leaders, they're not pastors, for example, how should they proactively think about how to encourage those older folks who want to serve and feel like they are out to pasture or no one wants to hear from them? How can they be, you know, encouraged to be part of the church service community? And how can younger people develop patience in order to pursue including people who are older in ministry?
That's such a great question and so important because, as you said at the beginning, our world, our nation, our churches are aging. They call it the silver tsunami. So baby boomers are aging. There are fewer babies being born. Our churches are going to be older. And so we all need to be thinking intentionally about not only how to minister to the aging, but how to incorporate the gifts, the wisdom, the experience, the freedom of time that the aging have to give in ministry. So the first thing is just to recognize we are looking at aging congregations. The second thing is to realize, J.I. Packer says in that book, he says a lot of churches act like spiritual gifts and ministry skills wither with age. So we need to recognize if we have that attitude, that is not biblical. And then he says what happens is that they atrophy with disuse. So recognizing the silvering congregation, recognizing that we have this tendency, even in our churches, to marginalize the aged. And then the third thing would be to reach out to the older people in our congregations and to remember that they're not using technology as much. I mean, they are more than they used to, but they're not using it as much as, you know, the 20 to 40 somethings are. And so, like somebody said to me recently, we have a 92-year-old in our Bible study, and she had not been there recently. And her daughter goes to our church, and her daughter said, well, just make sure that you go up to her at church and tell her that you miss her in Bible study. And so we need to remember to make personal contact with these individuals and to ask them for their help, for their insight, to make sure that we are making space for them. And you also mentioned patience. We do need to develop patience and to have patience because there's every likelihood that as we invite older people to be part of our ministry teams or our ministries, that they may be telling the same stories over and over, or they may, you know, get off on a tangent, or they may speak too much, but we can learn to interact and to deal with any issues that we have with that, but we can so benefit from the experience and the wisdom that they have to offer. And it's just so important. It's such an important issue to be engaging with and to be recognizing in our churches and our ministries.
Well, the Bible is very clear that the Lord has numbered all of our days. And sometimes I've thought about, I have older parents in their 90s, and I've thought about, you know, if I see somebody who died unexpectedly in the media, some cultural person, and I think, wow, my parents have already lived, you know, 20 years or 30 years or maybe even 40 years more than that person ever will have. So it's not that people can't die unexpectedly at a young age, but most of us will, the majority of people do go through the aging process. And so how as Christians does the aging process help us to prepare for death with hope, because death is inevitable unless, you know, Jesus hasn't come as of April 2022 so far. Maybe he might, but by the time this podcast released, but if he doesn't, how do we prepare for death with hope? Because frankly, all of us are going to die physically.
Yes, we are all dying. The mortality rate is still 100%, no matter what Andrew Steele says. So the good news as Christians is that we really can prepare for death with hope. We know where we're going to be. We know that we will be with Jesus the moment we die. And we know that one day Jesus will return and we'll have resurrection bodies. And there's a lot that we don't understand about that, but we have great, we have every reason to hope if we have trusted in Jesus and we know that we do have immortality. We are going to live forever. And so with that, we don't need to be as afraid of death. And sure, you know, people are, I know often people are afraid of like just the actual physical process of dying. And it's certainly understandable. It's not that, you know, we need to romanticize that, but we have every reason to trust that God will protect us and provide for us even in the process of death. And so one author, Sam Alberry, wrote a book called, What God Has to Say About Our Bodies. And he said, now, because we know where we're going to be when we die, the signs of aging are no longer a threat, but a promise. He says, gray hair and deepening lines on my face don't need to speak to me of a past that I can't recover, but of a future that I can barely conceive. The real glory days are not behind, but ahead. And I just love that, to think about our real glory days are still to come. And so we can face our death and we can prepare for death with great hope. And that's something that, you know, we started out this podcast by talking about how most people are trying to deny aging or disguise aging. And the same is true of death. But because of our hope of immortality, we can face it and we can prepare for it.
I noted at the beginning of this podcast that this is episode 285. But quite a ways back on episode 202, we did an episode, especially for those of you who are newer listeners. It was called Symbolic Immortality Projects Can't Save You by one of our authors, Clay Jones. And he noted that many philosophers and psychologists and anthropologists and sociologists and those kinds of people in our culture, academics, are, you know, noted that humans are desperately afraid of dying, and some of them probably are as well. And so a lot of times as humans, Christian or not Christian, we think that, you know, if we wrote a book or had children or grandchildren, or we made this work of art, or we worked on a significant project in our community, or maybe we had a cure for cancer or something like that, they could be this immortality project that we would be remembered. And he noted that he's a professor at a Christian college. And he said every year he asks one of his classes at the beginning, like, how many of you remember your great, great grandparents, like their names, what their background was? And nobody really did. And a lot of kids didn't even remember that much significant things about their grandparents. But that doesn't mean as Christians that we shouldn't consider what our legacy should be. It's one thing that we're trying to pour into something that we think we'd be remembered on some kind of, you know, not spiritual way, you know, but the Bible calls us as older generations to invest in the younger generation. So we do need to consider our spiritual legacy in that regard, not like living out through our grandchildren or something else, but what the Bible is calling us to. So what kind of legacy as Christians should we leave? Not pursuing like, oh, I want my name on this building, but what should we consider as we get older?
Yeah, there are really two kinds of legacies that I think of. And one is just a very practical legacy. And I've even started calling it practical legacy, your practical legacy. And that is all the things that your loved ones are going to need when you die. So I have a first four, which are your advanced directive, your durable power of attorney, your will, and your password information. And you may say, you know, I've never really thought about these things. But if you think about your family, if you're incapacitated, the advanced directive is such a gift to guide them through what your wishes for the end of your life are. And so it's a really helpful tool. The password information, that sounds kind of strange, but think about how much information you have on your phone or your computer that a loved one might need if you were incapacitated. I do a workshop with a social worker around this. And we had a woman in our workshop who was talking about her brother-in-law who died unexpectedly. And he was in his early 40s. And her sister couldn't get into his phone. And it had so much information. It took her like a week. So one practical action step, give some trusted person the password to your phone today. But so that's just a very practical thing. It is a way to love our neighbor, to love our loved ones by getting some of these practical things together. And then, of course, on a much larger level, a spiritual legacy is something that we begin by living it out today as we live out our faith, as we pray for our loved ones. And, you know, whether you have children or whether it's people in the church that you have discipled or mentored or encouraged, just, you know, you wrote a note to them one time when they were really struggling. That's the kind of thing that is a spiritual legacy. It's also includes any things that we would write down, or for those who are not writers, that we would record. You know, these days, I like to write things down, but you could also like record a video or an audio of the things that are really important to you, the things that you really want your loved ones to know. And so those things, they may or may not be remembered by our great, great grandchildren. But if we pass them down to whether our children or our friends or younger people in the church or younger people in our lives, they will hopefully be internalized. They will say, oh, I remember how Melanie always told me to pray when I was really worried. And so I'm going to do that now. And they live that out in their lives. And then, you know, somebody else comes along and begins to do that because this person tells them, oh, yes, I had this person in my life who always told me to pray when I was really worried. And so somebody, you know, it's just the multiplication, the Genesis 1 call to be fruitful and multiply. We're just trying to multiply the good news of the gospel in people's lives. And that's a spiritual legacy that we can all be thinking about no matter our age, and think about how we want to pass that on.
Well, this gives us a lot of food for thought about this topic. So finally, I have a fun couple rapid fire questions to get to know our authors and get to know Elizabeth particularly. And I'm going to relate them to this topic. So you mentioned that you and your husband are in that time of life where you are grandparents and empty nesters and all that kind of thing. So what is one of your favorite things about aging?
Oh, I enjoy my family, my children in new ways. I love seeing my children as adults. And recently we had our first grandchild, and I just love seeing my daughter and her husband and the way they parent their baby. And I'm learning so much from them. I mean, I do have a little bit of, oh gosh, I wish I had done things this way, but really it's just a joy to see how God is working in their lives. So I love parenting adult children and really just learning from adult children.
And is there anything new that you have pursued in this season of your life that you didn't do when you were younger?
Yes, there is. As a matter of fact, kind of a big thing. I am in a program to get my doctorate of ministry. I started last year. So yes, 59 years old. And it's something that I had always wanted to do, and just different obstacles were in the way. And so I was given the opportunity last spring, and I am one of those lifelong learners. So I'm absolutely loving getting to kind of fulfill this dream of mine that I've always had in my, it'll be my early 60s, hopefully, when I finish.
Well, that sounds exciting. So thank you, Elizabeth, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks for having me, Melanie.
You've been listening to episode 285 of the Postmodern Realities podcast. Today, my guest was Elizabeth Reynolds Turnage. She has written a feature article in our print edition, volume 45, number 1 and 2. And her article is called The Age of Opportunity, How the Bible Gives Hope for Aging. If you would like to read this article and are not currently a subscriber to our journal, please go to our website, equip.org, to subscribe.